everybody. It is Wednesday. It is Snipes and Stripes right here on NoFilter.net. I am Jeremy Roenick, joined by my good-looking friend, Tim Peel, one of the best referees ever in the National Hockey League. And I'm sure that this conversation is going to continue with referees at some point on tonight's show. But, Tim, happy Wednesday. We are in the thick of the Stanley Cup Final. Can't wait to chat with you about it. But, first of all, how you doing, my friend?
I'm awesome, buddy. I'm excited. You know what? Listen, we got Biz Nasty, we got Upshaw and the Missing Curfew Boys, Obi and that. I think we are the best looking podcast out there right now.
Oh, there's no question about it.
Those guys don't have anything on us.
Oh, there's a bunch of hillbillies over there. There's no question. And they know it. They know it.
I love those guys.
Yeah, I'm feeling better. I've lost like 27 pounds. We were just talking about this before the show, but I feel great. Feel good. I got a little pep in my step, and I'm in Chicago now, and I'm getting ready to go to Muskoka for a couple golf tournaments, and then I head to Boston for a celebrity tournament. My game is terrible right now, my golf game, but when I get thinner, Tim, my rotation is different. Usually, I'm going over my belly, and I have a nice. Like a good extension over my belly, but now there's nothing to keep it in place. It's all over the place right now.
You look good. You know what? Muskoka, one of my favorite places in North America.
Right.
It is beautiful up there. And there are that, I don't know where you're going to be, but that Millionaire's Lane, I think Shanny might be on that lane. They've got some beautiful, beautiful.
I've got a couple of friends up there, and we've hung out with Cindy Cross, Crawford and Randy Gerber up there, Paul Coffey's up there. My buddy Jamie Salter with Authentic Brands Group is up there. There's no shortage of celebrityism. There's no shortage of money up in Muskoka. So we're going up playing Rocky Crest and St. Joe's Country Club, and I think I'm playing Ovenberg. I got a big week of golf next week, Sunday to Sunday, every day. So.
Your game will get into shape by then. Give you a couple days.
No, by the time I get to St. Louis in September for your member guests, I'm going to be sharp and ready to go.
I love it. I love it. Awesome.
Yeah. So we are two games in. Let's talk about our sponsors first. We have a couple great sponsors, starting with Whiskey in the Wild, my great chocolate and chocolate orange whiskey. Go to whiskeyinthewild.com to order yours today. In limited stores in New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Illinois, and Montana, Arizona, but definitely online at whiskeyinthewild.com. Make sure you reach out. I guarantee you, you're going to have a drinking experience of a lifetime.
Well, hopefully you can get us into Missouri soon. Hopefully you can work that out, buddy. I'm anxious to have it. So, but thank you to Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. Thank you for Bet Online for being a sponsor all year. Also to Protected Neck Guards. Just actually communicating with Brian Rolston today with Little Caesars. We're working on programs. Gino Cavallini with the Chicago Mission. Working on programs all over the U.S. right now. So get in touch with me today for your neck guards for your organization. So let's get at it, buddy. We got the Stanley Cup playoffs going on.
Well, we said on Monday that Monday was a big game. We thought that if Florida can find a way to win game two and sweep the series on their home ice, it's going to be almost impossible for the Edmonton Oilers to win 4 out of 5 games against the Florida Panthers. Do you still feel the same way going into Edmonton with the adrenaline that's going to be up there in Edmonton with the fans?
Well, I said Monday was a must win, and now I'm saying Thursday is a must win. You know?
Make up your mind, for Christ's sake.
I don't want to see hockey end. We've got two phenomenal teams here. Florida's probably the, not probably, they are the better team as far as depth. from first line to fourth line, their goaltending. But then you've got the two of the best players in the world. I don't want to see this end. I don't want this to be a four-game series. I don't want it to be a five-game series. Edmonton can win. They can win tomorrow night in Edmonton, but they're going to have to play well because guess what? You've seen it, JR. Florida, they are all business right now. They're like, they play the same style every shift, whether they're up a goal, down a goal, they play the same style. They don't waver from their game plan. And a lot of that credit goes to Paul Maurice. So yes, they can win, but realistically, can Edmonton win four out of the next five games?
They can, but again, the odds are heavily against them. And, you know, we talked about Florida coming into this playoff season, at least this final season, that they are a different team. They're more poised. They are more disciplined.
Yep.
I think they are structured better. I think they think the game better. I think they are more patient and they are more resilient than they have ever been. And that's saying something when you're coming into a final, because they have won game one where they probably didn't deserve to win. They won by holding on and getting a great performance by a goaltender. I think Bobrovsky won game one for them. But then you had game two where they just came out and they pounded Edmonton. They frustrated Edmonton. Even though Edmonton got the first goal, Edmonton just couldn't seem to gather any kind of momentum, and Florida never seemed to panic, and then just chipped away. And next thing you know, it's 4-1 and Florida wins again, which ended up being a chippier game than game one. Now going into Edmonton, I don't think Florida can go in there and expect to play the chippy game that they did in their own building. I think it's going to be a little bit more defensively oriented, more structured, more poised, and again, more disciplined.
Well, yes to all of that. And the problem, the biggest problem is that, you know, it's so funny. You know, you and I talked about on Monday morning before game two, we talked about Evan Rodriguez, right? And he comes out and scores. He's got three goals in the first two games. There is no depth scoring on Edmonton, bud. There is none, zero. There are only, and I was looking at my phone, where you're only three Oilers forwards had a shot on net on Wednesday night.
It's kind of crazy too, because it's always been their nemesis for the last few years. It's like, it's a top two. And after that, there's no support, which is why they only get so far. Well, they have been getting secondary scoring. They have been getting scoring by Nugent Hopkins, by Hyman, by Kane, by a couple of, by Bouchard. But now they're in the final and it's all stopped again. Like the secondary scoring, even the primary scoring has stopped, because Connor McDavid and Draisaitl, with the exception of an assist by McDavid, have been left off the score sheet for two games.
Well, they're playing the best team in the NHL right now, the Florida Panthers. You've got the Selke winner in Sasha Barkov shutting down McDavid and Draisaitl. That is their only hope in game three and game four in Edmonton, that Chris Knobloch, JR, can get the matchups that he wants because of the last line change. Now, that does not always necessarily work, because obviously the first opportunity that Florida has to change on the fly, they will. But if there's a face-off in the defensive zone, and normally it would be Barkov out there, and maybe it's somebody else because Barkov just came off, that's their opportunity to put Draisaitl and McDavid on. But it's going to be a challenge, and you can't listen. Evander Kane, he was minus three, played 11 minutes. The guy can't skate. We've talked about it on numerous occasions.
He's hurt.
Darnell Nurse, you beat him up on Monday, played 3 minutes. He's obviously hurt. Something's wrong with him, right? And, you know, I know he's been a liability on the ice, but instead you've got Desharnais. You're going to have Cody Ceci.
Here's the difference. The Florida Panthers have been opportunists. They have scored goals on their opportunities. They've hit the back of the net, and their goaltender hasn't made the big save. Starting from the first goal of the series with Verhaeghe, that was a save that should have been stopped by Skinner. Okay, Skinner's down on one knee. He's in this little reverse V position. Yeah. He can't get over fast enough. He has to push really hard. His arm opens up, and it's a literally a redirection that goes underneath the arm of Skinner. 98% of the time, the goaltender is going to make that save. Skinner doesn't. Florida takes advantage of their opportunities, whereas Edmonton has not taken advantage of their opportunities whatsoever, even when they had them. And you can make all the excuses in the world, but you can't say that Edmonton hasn't had their chances to score. They are just not taking advantage of them, bearing in the back of the net.
I found game two that there were opportunities, JR, where they passed too much. They passed it too much.
Yeah, trying to find that perfect shot, right? Trying to
find that perfect shot. They got to start shooting more. So I don't know.
It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what the game plan is for Florida against Edmonton. It's to make sure you shut down the top two guys. If you pay attention to those top two guys, you close the gaps on them.
Yep.
Don't let them get revved up too much. You don't give them an open space. You keep them out of the middle. You keep the shots to the outside. You frustrate them. You have a very, very, very good chance of winning the hockey game if you limit their chances. And that's what they're doing. They've done it perfectly to a T for the first two games.
Well, and if I'm Florida, I'm going, our best players haven't even scored yet. Matthew Tkachuk hasn't scored. Reinhardt, I don't think, has scored. Verhaeghe scored.
Barkov has not scored.
But their best players haven't even scored, and we're up 2-0 in this series. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it is really good. They're actually sitting in a good place. Now their mentality to go up in Edmonton and steal one.
Yeah.
Right? You got to steal one in Edmonton. Edmonton's not going to go away.
No, they're not.
This is a proud hockey team with a lot of history, with tremendous, tremendous leadership of Connor McDavid, okay, and Leon Draisaitl. They are going to battle. And again, they're going to be flying. And chances are they will probably win the next game. But if Florida can steal one of two and have an opportunity to win back at home, have two chances to win a Stanley Cup at home, it's wrapped up. I mean, for in terms of Florida, so these are some critical games for Florida, but they better not take this Edmonton team lightly, because they can score with the best of them. Hyman has been invisible. McDavid and Draisaitl have been off the sheet. Nugent Hopkins, I don't even know if he's playing.
I know. And the other problem is, I love Evan Bouchard, but man, he's looked bad he looked really bad in game two. And they don't get any, you know, Ekholm had a goal the other night, but I just don't see a lot of offense. If Bouchard isn't creating offense on the back end, I don't see a lot of offense created from the
blue line. Is Bouchard getting too much credit for this playoffs he's having? Is he this good of a player, or is he just having a really good run?
You and I talked about him.
I haven't heard hide nor hair of him until recently. I wasn't seeing him in the beginning of the season or the middle of the season having this much conversation about him.
One of our episodes earlier in the year, before Jay Woodcroft got fired, we actually talked about, or I talked about Bouchard and what a defensive liability he was. And all of a sudden then he started scoring goals and people kind of forgot about the defensive liability. But, you know, the other night when he had an opportunity to get rid of the puck and he just passed it right back to the, I think it was Rodriguez, and Rodriguez scored. It was just, and then I looked when he was in some scrums and so on, and you'll agree with this. You can tell a lot by a player's eyes, and he looked like a deer in headlights. He looked like, wow, is this moment too big for him? Is this moment too big for me right now? Like he looked overwhelmed, and that's not good. Because when
I think the whole Edmonton Oilers team has looked overwhelmed, to tell you the truth. I think all of them are sitting there going, holy shit, we just got thumped in Florida.
I'm gonna read a couple comments, but Trevor Harris, he says, "Yo, what up, JR?" He wrote, "Bouchard is literally a pylon." So he's a good player. He's obviously an NHL caliber player. I just think he lacks. He's not going to be. If it's 1-1 and you're putting him out there to shut down the top line, I don't think he's that guy. I don't think Edmonton has that guy. Darnell Nurse isn't that guy. Darnell Nurse has been on for 26 of the 50 goals going into game two the other night. So he's not that guy. So who's your shutdown guy? Desharnais, CeCe? Like, who are your shutdown? I know what the shutdown pair is in Florida. It's Ekblad. You've got Montour. You've got OEL. Like, you've got a bunch of guys there that Forsling. He should be at the top of the list. So they've got shutdown guys. Who are your shutdown guys on Florida? I don't see it. I know we're going to get into it. Trevor Harris on the chat line, JR, says, "Tim Peel, what are your thoughts on the knee on knee hit? Was that a 5 minute in a game?" Before I answer it, JR, you give your thoughts on that.
Listen, we talked about the refereeing in game one. I thought it was fantastic. I thought the calls were fit. I thought they let them play the game. They let them be themselves. Game two was a totally different story. It was more physical. There's a lot of things happening, but I saw the ticky-tack crappy calls, like the slashing.
What do you mean?
Ticky-tacky calls. They call a penalty on a little slash that hits a stick. It doesn't even hit the hand. I thought the hit on Barkov was a good hit. I mean, Barkov is literally falling on near the ice. He is halfway down near the ice. He gets hit with a shot where the elbow is against the body. Now, well, listen, when you go hit somebody, you hit with your elbow against the body. His elbow hits him in the face. But the problem is, the reason why it's been so controversial is because the way that Barkov acted after he got hit. It looked like he got shot by a semi-automatic, and he went down and he did a total European soccer dive and laid on the ice like he was dead, which is total BS if you ask me. I've been hit 10 times as hard as that, and have gotten up and just skated back into the play without feeling like I even got a pinprick. Okay, so again,
you would have been laying there in the fetal position, sucking your
thumb. A chance. I would have been up. I would have been up punching somebody in the face and saying, not even knowing something happened.
No, you wouldn't. You couldn't have handled that hit from Draisaitl. That is a penalty all day long. His arm wasn't tucked in. He had his forearm up. It's a minor penalty. Great call by the officials.
It's a terrible call by the officials. You know it. You know it is. It is a BS call. It's a rinky-dink call. It's the NHL final. Now, we should just take hitting out of the game if you can't hit somebody with your elbow tucked right to your side and be able to hit somebody like this. I could see if his elbow was up, but his elbow wasn't up. Now, did he jump? I don't know. That's to your own discretion. Now, the Fogel knee hit.
Your own discretion. He did jump. It's not your own discretion. He did jump. Like, that is a penalty all day long. Okay. And Barkov, I'm sorry. I love this guy. And he did not milk that call. He was shaken up. He didn't come back.
You really think that Barkov was laying on the ice because he was really hurt from that check?
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
This is why you're a referee. Because you don't know how to take a hit, what it feels like to get hit, or how it feels when you get an elbow to the face, especially as minimal as that. Because maybe you would have been down sprawling around like a dead fish on the ice after you got hit, after like that, but not a real hockey player. A real hockey player gets up and like shakes it off and is like, is that all you got? No. But in this day and age where they're trying to get a 5 minute penalty, anything that gets near the head, they go, oh my God, I just got hit. I'm going to throw up. I'm dead. I got a concussion. Give him a 5 minute major so we can go on the power play and flop around and get a nice little Oscar for the flop. That's today's game.
Hold on. Thanks to our chat line. It just reminded me of something. When I saw Draisaitl hit Barkov, it reminded me of Darian Hatcher hitting you. That's how he launched himself into Barkov. The plays were very similar.
And how long did I stay on the ice? 2 seconds. Yeah. Stood right up. I had a broken jaw in five places. I stood right up. I just felt my jaw and got right back in the game for about that's 5 minutes. And Barkov goes, "Oh God! Oh God! I'm hit."
That's because
bring out the stretcher. Bring out the stretcher.
Barkov is normal.
Where am I? What's my name?
You're not
am I normal. Swedish?
Hey.
Am I Russian? What am I? Come on, please. It's just a joke. Watch this. Like, this is me getting hit. I mean, Darian Hatcher absolutely just destroys my brain, yeah. Right? And I get up, and it's okay, no problem. But listen, I totally disagree with you on this one. This is weak hockey in its prime. Well, the Fogel knee bothers me a little bit.
That was a great call. That was a great call. What?
Where's Fogel's going in to make a hit? He can't stop his forward momentum in his skating position when the other guy, who was it, Luke Strainen, jumps out of the way and leaves his knee exposed. Okay. Take the hit. Listen. Stay right in there. Take the hit. He jumps out of the way. He leaves his legs out there to be hit. Fogel can go nowhere else. He can't bring his knees back. His knees are already in position. He's going forward. You have to give a little bit of the blame to the person getting hurt by the move he makes prior to the hit.
Listen, Fogel's got to understand that Lou Sturinen had a broken fibula last year. Okay,
why? Why does he have to worry about that?
Yeah, no, he does. He can't hit him down low. Okay,
hit him down low. He went to go hit him, and Luce Kanen just jumped off to the side and left. By the way, left that knee that he broke wide open to get hit again. You know, if you're worried about your legs, stand up, take the hit, and then move on. Don't try to jump off to the side and leave your knees exposed to someone who's coming right at you. There's no way to go.
You sound like Don Cherry right now trying to pronounce Lou Story.
No, but you know why? You know why? Do you know why I understand that this is not a penalty? Because Darian Hatcher did this to me back in 1994. Teddy Drury did this to me in 2000. Okay, where I'm coming at them, they're coming to hit me. I jump out of the way and leave my knee off to the side, and I get hit. I didn't blame them for blowing my knee out. It wasn't their fault. I don't even think it was a penalty. It was my fault for trying to get out of the way and exposing my spot to the hit. Period. End of sentence.
The game has changed, buddy. That was 25 years ago. Okay. The cross checks weren't called back then. A lot of things weren't called back then. You gotta protect these guys. I think a knee on knee hit. I think Fogel felt like he was caught in the railroad tracks. He wasn't going to be able to hit Luce Sturinen properly, and he stuck out his
No, Luce Sturinen was stuck in the railroad tracks. He tried to get out of it.
Because he bailed
and tried to get out of it, he left himself exposed, period.
I think it's a great call. And listen, you're not going to pick on my buddy Chris Rooney, okay? Rooney's worked 7 Stanley Cup finals. I thought him and Johnny Bear did an excellent job. And
hey, listen, I love Chris Rooney. I think he's done a good job in his whole career. There's no question he's got one of the best track records. But that game officiating in game 2 was subpar. Period. End of sentence. No, subpar. Subpar.
Or no, it wasn't.
Subpar.
You're subpar. Crazy. You're crazy. You love the way game 1 was officiated. They let everything go in game 1.
Subpar. Subpar.
JR's got his sunglasses on.
Subpar. Where's the 3 blind mice with the cane? With the cane. Where is it? 3 blind mice.
Our listener Trevor Harris on the chat line is giving us some great info. He goes, Edmonton's not going to get in until 8 p.m. local time tonight. There's storms left and right in South Florida.
Well, hey, let's bring Trevor in and see what he has to say. I mean, he's joining us on the podcast, which we love. And it's one of the things we love about nofilter.net is we're able to bring live guests on and live fans to hear what they think, because we think we know it all, but we never sit there and like think of what the fan thinks, right? What they want to talk about and what they see, because sometimes they probably know just as much, if not more, than we do, 100%. Right? So there he is. What's up, Trev?
What's up, JR? What's up, Peelsy? I was tweeting at you during the game two. I was in attendance for that game too. That was a bonkers crowd, I would say, about that.
So are you an Oiler fan or a Panther fan?
So neither. I work in sports radio down here, Tim Peel. So I go as an objective observer. That's why. That's what I say. Because most of these Panther fans, there's too many homers, so I have to be the objective one, anyways.
Okay, well let's jump right into it. So you got a lot of opinions, right? So
yeah.
So let's start. Let's just start a series so far. I mean, it's been all Florida. Edmonton's not doing anything that's substantial right now. I think there's subpar, to say the least. Their goaltending is getting outmatched and they're in big trouble.
Oh yeah. I always said this about Edmonton is like, they can only go so far, but they have goaltending is the question mark. There's no Grant Fuhr back there. There's no Curtis Joseph or Tommy Salo back there. It's Stuart Skinner. How Florida is just peppered Stuart Skinner is ridiculous because there's no defense at all. Like the Oilers don't even have Tyson Barrie, which they could use right now since they got rid of him last year. Am I right, JR?
Well, I think Tyson Barrie has he has an offensive touch to him and a power play touch, which he does. I think Tyson Barrie defensively has some skeptical aspects to him, but I think Skinner is as good of a season he's had. He's not pulling the weight that you need a goaltender to pull in order to win the Stanley Cup final.
Definitely, and that's been their biggest problem. It's like goaltending will only go so far, and seeing Bobrovsky, who's criticized for his first couple of years, who's that horrible Albatross contract. Remember that 7-year deal he signed? Everyone was saying, get him out of here. People were calling for him. Now he's like back-to-back finals. Everyone's shut up about that.
It's remarkable how he's turned his career around, guys. You know, there I saw on Twitter today after game two, he's the leading candidate for the Conn Smythe trophy. This is a guy, like Trevor said, was just getting abused a couple of years ago. And now... Man, oh man, he's worth every penny that they've paid him.
You know, it's amazing. The amazing stat is he has not gotten scored 5-hole.
Yeah,
I mean that in itself is a remarkable stat. Let alone that he's only let up one goal in 60 minutes of final hockey.
You know what's another remarkable stat is every time a puck hits him up high, his helmet accidentally comes off. It's like. Oh my God! Are you kidding me?
Tighten those straps down. Come on, like give that guy a penalty. Listen, have it fall off so many times.
Listen, would you rather have your helmet come off and stop the puck, or would you rather have it go in and have his helmet stay on?
Well, of course.
Point for JR. Zero. Tim Peel.
Come on, let's go. Let's go. So refereeing. Obviously, we have very much different opinions of game two. We agreed on game one. But obviously, this was Tim Peel in game two, just with this, just his, you know, his sunglasses on. He couldn't see with the game the right way, and his cane, the three blind mice. And listen, I love Chris Rooney. I'm never going to say a bad thing about him. But this was a poor officiated game.
It was a bad one. I was in a game one, but I was watching. That was like pretty straight down line, good officiating. I was at game two, and when we saw the neon here, like, oh, that'll be two in a game. Seeing five in a game, I was like, holy smokes. Like, I was surprised about that. And I was with JR. I said this to everybody, like, that's a good hit. That's a clean hit. Everyone stopped crying, and people saw, like, what are you, an Edmonton fan? I was like, no, I'm not. I'm just saying, I'm just being honest, a hockey fan. But that's a true good hit. Anyway, that's a playoff style hit, anyways. So, and right now, the funny thing, with all this rain down here in South Florida, the Panthers are still stuck at Fort Lauderdale, by the way.
Really?
Yes, because it's like pouring rain, there's flooding everywhere.
So they have to play tomorrow, and they still have not flown, which is at 3,800 miles to get to Edmonton. Mm-hmm. Edmonton, I would assume, is back in Edmonton getting ready. They flew back after the game. Mm-hmm. So, hey, listen, if I'm a betting guy, and I'm thinking about jet lag legs.
Mm-hmm.
Florida is going to have them come Thursday.
Which is, I like to say, this is a money thing for me. I sold my game 5 tickets for $2,000 already, so I kind of want that money in my pocket, if you know what I mean, JR.
Well, it's going to come back. There's no question Edmonton will win at least one in Edmonton. I think, you know, if Florida can find a way to win, steal a game out of Edmonton, it's not going to be in game 3. It's going to, yeah. There's no way. I don't think there's any way that Edmonton with the likes of Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl are going to drop 3 in a row. No. I think they're too good. And I think the fans are going to be enough for them to push them on. Tim, you know what it's like when you go back and you get in front of your own fans. It's a different mentality. There's a little bit more confidence, and you're going to get on some really good ice where they're going to feel a lot more comfortable with the ice underneath their blades.
Well, it's going to be like Rexall Place back in the day almost.
They better. Like you and I talked about the ice conditions. I haven't heard too much about it, JR, as far as people complaining about the ice in games 1 and 2. But as you and I alluded to, last week, Edmonton was always known as having the best ice in the league, and maybe that'll favor McDavid and
Settling. Maybe they just won't say it, but I'll tell you what, as 7-1 goes in score, the ice didn't do Edmonton any good.
No.
The ice is usually good at South Florida. The good thing, there's been no concerts at all, which has been key. I like to say it's been very much a key, because I remember Chris Kreider was complaining about game 1. The ice was bad at the Garden, and they chilled it out all big time because they had a concert the night before the Eastern Finals. Anyway, I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah. All right, so Trev, so give us your next 2 games. Are they going to go back to Florida 3-1, or are they going to go back 2-2?
Am I crazy if I say 2-2? Like, do you see 2-2? I see Edmonton in one game and seeing it be 3-1. And somehow Edmonton pulling off game 5 somehow.
No, but he's asking you, are they going to go back? Are they going
to
go back?
I think they go back to Florida. I think we'll be back in South Florida for a game anyways. I'll say that for sure.
So what do you think, it's going to go back 2-2 or 3-1?
I would like it 2-2 just for ticket reasons. But honestly, as a hockey seat, I could go back. I could see it being 3-1.
Tim?
I think it goes back 3-1. I think Florida wins 1.
I'm going to go against my series prediction,
mm-hmm,
of 5 games, because I have faith in the best player in the world. I have faith in one of the most competitive second best players in the world, in Leon Draisaitl, and I don't see Skinner being a flop 3 games in a row. I think they go back 2-2. I think Edmonton comes back and shows why they're there. I think adjustments are made. I think, Tim, what you said earlier about the matchups is going to be a big aspect for Edmonton. I would not be surprised, and I'm gonna predict that Edmonton wins both games there, and then we're going to have a hell of a best-of-3 series starting on Saturday, or starting on Monday.
Which will be very good for the game, because TV revenue is good. TV ratings are even better, especially it's on ESPN. We can all mute Sean McDonough. How about that?
Oh, you can't say I love Sean McDonough. But you know what? You're right, though, Trevor. TV ratings on ESPN have been, I think they're up 38% this year from last. So good.
Yeah, I'm not one to watch for obvious reasons, but mm-hmm. I think the telecasts have been very good. I think the analysis has been great. I think the comments have been great. I think the play-by-play has been called very well. As far as TV goes, I can't complain, even though I would love to complain about them because I'm not there. They have been very, very good and fun to watch.
As someone who produces the radio games for the Panthers, it's always a fun when you get to listen to Billy Lindsay and Doug Plagans talk. How about that?
Yeah, it's true.
I love Billy. Thanks for coming on, Trevor.
Thanks,
always,
Trevor.
Always love listening to you guys on my way home from work. You guys are doing the best job in the biz for hockey. I got to tell you that.
Thanks for being part of the show, Trevor. You're the best, man. Seriously. We'll see you soon. Good luck.
Hey, I got a stat. You know Megan Chayka? She tweeted out something. The Oilers were held to a total of 8 scoring chances in game 2 on Monday. 3 at 5-on-5, second fewest by the Oilers in a game this season. 3 on net, tied for fewest by an Oilers game in this season. So 5-on-5, they are not producing anything like that.
Okay, so let me. That's an interesting comment to say. So let me ask you this question: Is their ineptness, or how inept they are? Is it more because how well Florida is playing defensively, or how unprepared and how discombobulated Edmonton is offensively?
I think you've got to give all the credit to Florida.
Yeah, I'm in agreement.
I think you have to give all the credit to Florida. Their first line to their fourth line, they're relentless. Their forecheck, JR, is relentless. I'm watching some of those shifts by Florida, and they just come at you in waves. And then every once in a while, for a couple minutes, it looks like, okay, Edmonton's going to come out of this, and they're going to put a push on, and then Florida comes at you again in waves. And I just think they're just overmatched, and I just don't think they match.
I think I'm going to give a little example, but I want people to watch the way Florida plays. Line per line, they play a very disciplined, in-your-face game. And when I say disciplined, when they don't have the puck, they know their job defensively. When they have the puck, they know when to get it deep. They know when to carry it across the blue line. They know when to get rid of the puck. They know where to get rid of it. But the most part is that every single player, per player, finishes their check. Everybody, every Edmonton Oilers that touch that puck, they seem to get hit, whether it's a body check, a slash, a bump, something. And I don't think you can say that on the opposite side with Edmonton. It is a physical matchup that Florida is winning that literally, even if it's little, if an Edmonton Oilers falls down, it's picking themselves off the ice.
Yep.
It's the constant bump. It's the constant grind. It's the wear down. It's a wear down. And Florida is wearing down the Edmonton Oilers piece by piece, shift by shift, player by player. And every single one of them is on the same page. And it is an absolute thing of beauty to watch.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And that's kind of what Vegas did last year. Vegas was just, look what happened to Matthew Tkachuk. He got hit by, forget the guy's name. It's not, might maybe Carrier, and broke his sternum. That was Vegas last year, physical from top to bottom. Big D that were physical. This is the Florida Panthers this year.
Yeah, they learned from that, right?
They learn from that, exactly.
Well, and I think you said the most profound thing so far of the night. Oh, that wow. Florida is up 2-0 and their best players haven't scored yet.
Right.
Wow. With the exception of Verhaeghe, you have a 50 goal scorer hasn't scored. You have a 100 points scorer that hasn't scored. Right. You have the Conn Smythe and one of the best offensive players hasn't scored. I mean, it is incredible how this team finds a way to get the job done.
It's impressive. It'd be great for, you know what, obviously your relation and my relation with Keith Tkachuk, we'd be happy for Matthew, but you know, I'd be really happy for is a guy that's been coaching for seems like 30 years, and that's Paul Maurice. Mm-hmm. And he joked the other day, because I didn't know his son's a play-by-play guy for the East Coast team that just won the Kelly Cup, and they won their second title in a row. And Paul says, yeah, you know, he's got more rings in the house than I do. And just, I always loved Paul. We'd have our battles, but I could come over and say, hey, Paul, this is what's going on. Thanks, Timmy. Thanks. He was always respectful. He never talked down to you. He never demeaned you. And I love Paul Maurice. And I would be happy for a guy like him to win a Stanley Cup, because it would really not put the icing, because he's got a long ways to go.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, he's been around for a while, right? He's paid his dues. He's paid his dues. And nobody gives him credit for how good of a job he did in Winnipeg.
100%. Right?
He did a great job in Winnipeg. He started that team, put them on the map. He coached a team that had some good players, and I think there's a lot of people when he got hired by Florida kind of questioned it, me being one of them. I can honestly say I really didn't put much stock into him or watch him enough. But the more that I watch him, the more I watch his demeanor behind the bench, the more I see the way his team plays, I have a lot of respect for the way Paul Maurice coaches.
I agree. Charlie Huddy's one of his assistants. Jamie Compound has been with Paul. Jamie's actually a St. Louis guy. He's been with Paul. I'd be very happy for that. I'd be happy for Bill Zito too. Bill Zito's a tremendous guy. I remember a few years ago, this kid, young kid that I coached, had half of his skull, scalp ripped off by a pit bull. And I did a fundraiser, and all of a sudden I get a donation from Bill Zito. He was the assistant GM of Columbus at the time. And that's the type of person he is. He's just a good person. But listen, it sounds like we're giving the eulogy already for Edmonton. We're not.
Not me. I just said I think it's coming back 2-2. I think Edmonton's going to have a resurgence. And again, I don't know what the physical conditions are of these players. I know they've been beat down. I don't know what Connor McDavid, if he does have any injuries, if he's being a little bit sidelined. Or obviously we know Evander Kane is struggling a little bit. I am shocked at the disappearance of Ryan Nugent Hopkins. Actually, I'm not shocked because I don't put much stock into him in the first place, but he needs to wake up too.
I'm not shocked either, buddy, because guess what? He's had a tremendous career point wise. Hasn't ever won anything in the NHL. But he's a small guy that's kind of slight.
Yeah, was he underachieved in his career?
Probably.
Yeah, I totally think he is.
And I don't think he's the type of guy, JR. Listen, nobody likes to get hit. When you played, you didn't like to get hit.
I love to get hit.
I remember, it's so funny you just brought him up. I remember.
And by the way, I used to go into every game saying, listen, I'm going to go in the first shift. I am either going to hit somebody or I'm going to get hit.
Really?
Yeah. Because both ways, I'm going to get into the game right away.
And well, I loved it. I can remember a few years ago, Ryan Nugent Hopkins came up to me in a game in San Jose, and he's like, Timmy, they're cross-checking me. And I looked at him, and I'm like, yeah, it's the National Hockey League, man. Like, so, yeah, he's probably not the type of guy that's going to be first in the corner. Or, you know, I hate to beat a guy up, but anyway, listen. Before we go, we have a few things to talk about. The Utah Hockey Club, Yeti, Blizzard.
We haven't even talked about Arizona leaving Phoenix. We haven't even talked about it.
No, you know, that's a sad day for you.
It's a sad day, man. It's a sad day for me. I mean, I was with that team since its inception in 1996. I know there's a lot of great hockey fans in the Scottsdale area. I have friends that literally cried when they had to leave. By the way, I'm not surprised. Since 2001, this team has been one of the most poorly managed and one of the most poorly owned team in the history of sports. Because the owners that came onto this team did not care about the game or the team one bit or iota. They only cared about developing property, building hotels, building entertainment centers, and making a shit ton of money on development rather than making the team a good team for the city. So I have no care in the world about the ownership and losing the team. I care about the fans. I care about the city. I care about a team that really had a home that could have been great if it had the right 100%. Area, the right arena, and it was just never supported enough by the right entities of Phoenix. So whether they get a team back again, they have 5 years. I know June 27th, they have this land auction that if they buy that piece of property, they'll be able to build an arena and build the entertainment complex that they want. But I feel bad for the fans. I'm sorry for all the fans that the team is gone. They're going to miss that team. But I will tell all the owners, you guys deserve it.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I think they will get another team, JR, because as you know, within the right location, the right ownership group, you know, we know Anson Carter's involved with the group in Atlanta. I've heard Shane Doan is possibly involved with the group in Arizona. The league loves Shane Doan, Coley Campbell and those guys. Gary loves them. With the right ownership group and the people involved, I could see them.
It's a little bit of everything. It's the right ownership group, and it's a building in the right area. 100%. And if they do that, hockey flourishes in Phoenix. There's no question about it. I've lived there for 25 years. I know it can work there. But now they're moving on to Utah, and congratulations on that city getting an NHL team. We have a few names that they're kind of kicking around, and
I'm at you. Oh.
And here we just have them on the board right now. The favorite name so far, Utah Blizzard, Utah Hockey Club. By the way, if they call it the Utah Hockey Club, I will never watch this team in the history of its existence. And I will laugh at the National Hockey League if they allow it to call the Utah Hockey Club. That is a joke. I can't even believe it's on this list.
I know.
Utah Mammoth, don't mind it. Utah Outlaws, don't mind it. Utah Venom, why Venom? I don't understand Venom. I would see Venom in Vegas, in Phoenix with the rattlesnakes, but are there rattlesnakes in Utah too? Maybe, yes, I guess. You know, this is the one I like the best. It's the Utah Yeti.
You like the Yeti, eh?
I love the name Utah Yeti. I mean, it rolls off your tongue nice. I really love the fact that there's not an S. I mean, I like Blizzard too. I like Mammoth. But Utah Yeti. I mean, could you imagine the mascot that they have? Could you imagine how cool the jerseys will be?
Okay. What is a Yeti, those big white... Like
it's Sasquatch. It's
or is it Yeti one of those things you drink?
It's a snow monster.
When I think of Yeti, I think of my daughter and son that have Yetis that they drink out of. That's what I think of. I don't like Yeti. What is the mascot going to be?
That's because you're uneducated, buddy. That's because you're uneducated. Like if you're educated and know what a Yeti is, it's a snow beast, right? It's a big, powerful beast of an animal. Or human, man, ape, whatever. Nobody really knows what a Yeti really is, but it's a furry, giant, strong mammoth of a beast. So Yeti.
A real thing or something like I think I've seen a Yeti when my daughter was younger watching
It's like, who knows? Nobody's ever seen a Yeti, I don't think. You know, like nobody's seen Sasquatch. Nobody's seen Bigfoot, but that doesn't mean.
I have seen Sasquatch in New Brunswick, Canada. I've seen Sasquatch. I have.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have heard it here first on Snipes and Stripes on nofilter.net. Tim Peel has just confirmed that Bigfoot is real.
I'm kind of torn. I didn't like Outlaws at the beginning. I'm kind of torn between Outlaws and the Blizzard.
Outlaws. I like Outlaws. I think the Outlaws are really good. I do like Outlaws. Blizzard, no, not so much.
No.
I mean, I don't mind.
Utah Yeti does roll off your tongue pretty good.
Yeah, Utah Yeti. It's quick to the point. It's sharp. I think they can have some really cool commercials. I think they can have a lot of fun with and look at Flyers look at the mascot they have, right? Gritty. It's totally taken, the whole mascot world by storm. I think Utah Yeti can do the same thing with a mascot. And so who knows? You got to think of everything when you think of a name, right?
Absolutely. It's all about marketing.
By the way, it's the Yeti. I love it.
We've got to, there's a couple things. I want to get something off my chest too. But we have to, the winner for the autograph 8x10 Jeremy Roenick picture is at Pano 1974 on Instagram and Twitter at Sweet and Tangy.
Nice. Congratulations. Thanks for joining. Thanks for entering. We love that.
Follow Snipes and Stripes too on our Twitter page. One thing we're going to go here in a couple minutes, but one thing I want to, you might be mad at me, but you'd be like, Peelsy, why are you bringing this up? But I bring it up because 2 years ago, I was accused of berating young officials. And while you were away, I actually, and the reason I'm bringing this up is because it still gets brought up to me on social media. You got Frank Saravelli, you got these buffoons that say stuff, you know, why don't you go yell at young refs? And I'm like, well, that didn't happen. So anyway, I want you to know, because I didn't share it with you while you were away, is I actually went and took a lie detector test. And I sent it on. I know you're shocked. And I sent it to USA Hockey. I sent it to Missouri Hockey. And I sent it to the Referees Association. I said, I just want you guys to know, I have told you from day one, this did not happen. And I don't know anybody that would go to these lengths to prove that this did not happen. But I went and took this, because it was important to me. It was important to me. I said to Kelly Chase, I said, Chaser, here's the
reason. Sounds like somebody has some thin skin.
No, it's not that. It's not thin skin. It's thick. It's thin skin when you're accused of berating or verbally berating teenage kids. That's not thin skin. That is
integrity. That's your integrity right there.
Integrity. It's a and I'm not going to mention the publication that wrote it, but it was inaccurate. They didn't do their homework, and it was important for me to do this. And I said to Chaser, and I said it to my wife, I go,
who wrote that?
The Athletic.
Screw the Athletic. They think they're so big.
Listen,
and they're so good.
My lawyer sent it to them, and they're standing by. And so I'm not going to get into why or why not they wouldn't change things, but it was important to me, JR, because
good for you, Tim. Good for you.
It is your integrity. That's all we have.
And good for you.
I knew in my heart and my stomach, my gut, that this didn't happen. And I had a lot of friends, you, Chaser, a lot of buddies, Walt, guys are like, yeah, Peelsy, we know, that backed me. But I wanted them to know, hey, you guys backed your buddy here, but I want you to know you backed me because, and here's the truth. That never happened.
You know what's crazy, Tim? Everybody that knows you're an integrity filled person.
I know. It sucks. The world we're living in now. Like you know, my lawyer said to me, he goes, "There's really nothing you can do."
Hey, the problem is there's not. You know why? Because Barack Obama passed a law in 2012 or 2013 allowing the media to lie, literally giving the permission to not tell the truth on television or in print, which gives them the ability to do it and gives the media ability to do it. And you know what they do? They write things to have shock factor to get people to read their stupid articles. And the Athletic was trying to do something that literally was so irresponsible. And by the way, who cares? Like, well, what?
And after that article came out, I actually went to a couple of publications and was told, hey, do you guys want to hear the real story? Nah, you know what? We're too busy.
Of course they don't. They don't want to get called out on their bullshit.
Well, they don't want to write. Nobody wants to write that story. They want to write the right. They want to write the bad story. That
God knows, good news doesn't sell. Good news doesn't sell. It's got to be who has the dirtiest dirt. And you know what?
Unbelievable.
To finish
with that. You know why else I did it? Is I did it for my kids. I did it for my kids because I sat down with them and I showed them that. I said, because I know you guys are aware of this because they're smart, they're older. And I said, I want you to know what type of person your dad is. Here it is. And they were like, you know, that probably didn't change it. But listen, when I'm long gone, I want them to know. No, my dad didn't do that. Here's a polygraph test.
Yeah. Well, listen, you have more integrity than any news publication would anyway. So good for you for doing that. And by the way, good for you for having a great show, because today's show, we brought it. Yeah. It was intense. I just hope Edmonton Oilers bring what we brought here in terms of energy to Snipes and Stripes right here in No Filter. Had a blast with you, buddy. Next time we talk, we are going to be going into game five. Are we going to go in 2-2? Are we going to go back 3-1? Or will the Stanley Cup be raised in Edmonton? That we will sure find out. But thanks to Bet Online, a fantastic sponsor of ours, Whiskey in the Wild, and Protective Neck Guards. We appreciate all the support. And Tim, I appreciate your honesty and being a stand-up guy.
Believe TV and caffeine. Believe Network and caffeine, TV and No Filter. Love you, buddy. Can't wait to see you on Monday. And hopefully we're going back to Florida 2-2, pal.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. It is a Stanley Cup final. It'll be nice to see seven. So thanks for everybody for joining. We'll see everybody on Monday on Snipes and Stripes Weekend Edition. Have a great weekend and enjoy games 3 and 4 of the Stanley Cup final. Tim, have a good one.
You too, buddy. Bye.